This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. Almost time for us to wrap up for the day. It's 12:43, coming up to 12:44. I'm in the studio with
Frida Liu.
I'm Vinny Braj.
Of course, our producer of the day is Christine Wong. Say hello, Christine. Our intern on his final day, Ali, is sat over there in the corner. Ali has been with us for 7 months, almost 8 months. He might be looking out for a job, folks. If you know anybody that's got a nice little job going for a young man, very hardworking.
And you want to know what he looks like?
Yes.
He looks a bit like...
Who does he look like?
A lot of people say he looks like Jordan Peele.
Oh, he does! Yes, he looks a bit like Jordan Peele.
He says he looks like Jordan Peele.
You can email us at enterprise@bfm.my. Now, we have a poll running over on Instagram. The numbers for that question: AI can now design cities. Should we be letting that? I need to jump over to... whilst I do this, can somebody just pick up and check if we have any more tweets or WhatsApps? Mm.
No more tweets.
I've got a WhatsApp here. 6966, he says the real question is, can AI design cities even to begin with? They might be able to tabulate topography, environments and other physical factors to churn out an efficient layout, but ephemeral qualities and values are still beyond them. They can't tabulate history, social intersections, culture or feelings, just to name a few. It may be able to learn how to construct, but never to design. Design doesn't just take intelligence, it takes feelings. Yeah. Yeah, and I get it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so you get the base, but then, you know, feelings are then added.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Very quickly then, picking up on the numbers, 70% of you saying yes, we should allow AI to design cities, 30% of you saying no. It's one of those things. I mean, I'd love to take a blank slate and let AI just run wild with it and just to see what it kind of creates. Obviously in a, you know, kind of...
A small test box.
A test box. Yeah. Yes, just to see what it does. Thinking SimCity on you know, greatly ramped up. Final story.
This story is for me.
For you, yes.
For me.
Yes, it is.
And the damage that I'm causing to the environment. I'm sorry, folks. This came out of Business Insider last year, but it's still good information. And I think people need to a reminder. This is about the fashion industry and how, on average, people bought 60% more garments in 2014 than they did in 2000. Fashion production makes up 10% of humanity's carbon emissions, dries up water sources, and pollutes rivers and streams. What's more, 85% of all textiles go to dump each year. And washing some types of clothes sends thousands of bits of plastic into the ocean. Mm-hmm. So, like, information we know, but let me give you some stats. And just as I was reading, I was just like, oh my goodness,
yes.
Right? Clothing production has roughly doubled since 2000. While people bought 60% more garments in 2014 than in 2000, they only kept the clothes for half as long. Okay. All right. In Europe, fashion companies went from an average offering of 2 collections per year in 2000 to 5 in 2011. So it used to be the spring, summer, fall, winter collection. Now, you know, some brands offer even more. Zara puts up 24 collections per year.
That's just insane.
H&M offers between 12 and 16. Okay, and a lot of this clothing ends up in the dump. The equivalent of one garbage truck full of clothes is burned or dumped in a landfill every second. Okay, in total, up to 85% of textiles go into landfills each year. Picture this, enough to fill the Sydney Harbour annually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
wow.
That's the visual image. Washing clothes, meanwhile, releases 500,000 tons of microfibers in the ocean each year. 500,000 tons, the equivalent of 50 billion plastic bottles. Many of these fibers are polyester, which is found in estimated 60% of garments. And producing polyester releases 2 to 3 times more carbon emissions than cotton. And polyester does not break down in the ocean. Not that cotton is not guilty. We'll get to a story about cotton in a while. 2017, a report from the International Union for Conservation of Nature estimated 35% of all microplastics never biodegrade, and that comes from the laundering of these synthetic textiles, right? Microplastics are estimated to compose up to 31% of plastic pollution in the ocean. Sounds horrible. There's more emissions. When we talk about the 10% of humanity's carbon emissions coming from fashion industry, that's more than all the international flights, the maritime shipping combined.
Yeah.
Wow. I just had a conversation with ST Chan. So she has a company called Stuff. It's a local company. It's a new company. And there are these people who are sort of popping up to tackle the fast fashion damage, so to speak. So these clothes are made from, you know, like zero microfibers and microplastics. The problem with things like that is the cost. So, you know, when you say like, you know, the amount of microfibers that go into the ocean, I think people don't realize that those microfibers come back to you because they are being consumed by ocean life.
Right.
So it goes into the ocean life consumes the plastics, you consume the ocean life. It's a toxic cycle.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you know, so I was talking about cotton as well, right? 700 gallons of water to produce one cotton shirt.
700 gallons
of water, okay? Of course, that's enough water for one person to drink at least 8 cups per day for 3.5 years.
Wow, okay.
Okay, 2,000 gallons of water produce a pair of jeans, and that's more than enough for one person to drink 8 cups per day for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And in Uzbekistan, cotton farming used up so much water from the Aral Sea that it dried up after about 50 years. It used to be one of the world's largest lakes. Now it's more like a desert and a few small ponds.
Mm.
So, yeah.
3,626 gallons of water to make one pair of leather shoes.
So you're thinking about shopping this weekend.
Right. That...
Well,
you see, here's the thing, right? And when you asked me a while ago, why do I have so many of the same colored T-shirts,
there
right?
You
you know, part of it was thrifty and cheap. But I don't know. Looking at these figures, when I saw these figures this morning, it really did make me look at things and reassess how much do I need these items and how much do I need a new item. And when you go and look at stuff like fast fashion, then you hear numbers like this and then you try and put it into context. 700 gallons for a T-shirt, you know, drinking 8 cups of water every day for 2.5, 3 years or whatever it is, the equivalent of something.
Right.
It's a huge amount of water.
And I can see why this has happened together with the internet, right? I'm just looking at myself. You know, I come on social media. Oh no, I'm wearing the same clothes.
Yeah,
right. That pressure that I put on myself. So I know one of the people that admire Arianna Huffington has come out with wearing the same clothes and hashtag style repeats. Mm. This dress looks good on me. I'll wear it a few times. So even I think Kate Middleton tries to do that as well. So I think we have to be that growth sort of came about with social media. Right, I think we weren't as particular before, but now there's this pressure of what I look like. I'm talking about myself, huh? Mm. So, you know, guilty.
Isn't fast fashion also like a relatively new problem that came up? Because like, you know, the price of clothes like dropped and people could afford, you know, getting T-shirts once a month more like.
Yeah.
Like, when is the last time we gave or we got like hand-me-downs, you know, like clothes that were used again and again, which is something that people used to do before where they stretch the age of their clothes using it for like 5, 6, 7 years. So even, you know, with the rise of fast fashion, you can sort of see how the amount of pollution is also like quadrupled.
But that also makes you think about, well, if clothes could be passed down from cousin to nephew or whatever, you know, they must have been made from a different material or a hardier material. Mm-hmm. Because now, you know, I've got a couple of pairs of jeans that maybe I've had for 6 or 7 months and, you know, they're already starting to wear thin or whatever. So, but
they're too loose or
whatever. Yeah. But, you know, years ago when I was a kid, I would have received a pair of jeans from somebody and they would have lasted forever.
Yeah, and that person would have used it for what, like 8 years or something?
8 years or whatever, Well, there we go then. Happy story to end our week.
And start the weekend.
Yeah, are you sure you don't want to, you know, just throw in a coronavirus story before we wrap up?
No, I think the news is doing that already.
Yeah, we're doing enough, right?
Yeah.
Ladies and gents, thank you very much for all of your contributions today for answering that question about AI and how, you know, should we let it design cities because it now can. We then moved on to a story about Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, the very talented and very handsome Ryan Reynolds and how he's a marketing genius.
Wrapping up, of course, with that story.
About fashion. And I just want to end off with Chiang here, who said, save the planet, stop wearing clothes.
In the privacy of your own home.
Yeah.
That's perfectly acceptable.
So the emphasis.
Close those curtains.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure the door is locked. Enough of that. Right. If you want to stick around, coming up after the 1 o'clock news, of course, it's the Breakfast Grill replay. Bike hailing, that's been in the news lately, with the government allowing them to operate for 6 months during a proof of concept period. And a prominent player here is Dago Ride, having started back in 2016. Dago Ride was banned shortly after and is now back in business. But with huge players like Grab and Gojek in the mix, can Dago really take off. The founder, Nabil Faisal Bamaraj, the founder of Dago Ride, spoke with The Breakfast Grill this morning. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. If you missed any part of this show, don't forget you can download the podcast from wherever you normally get it from. We are, of course, also on Spotify. My name is Rich Bradbury. On behalf of Frida Liu, Arvind Yuvaraj, Christian Wong, and of course, saying a final goodbye to our intern, Ali. Farewell, my friend. Good luck. You have been listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9. We'll be back same time, same place on Monday from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.